a Bible, if you take your Bible and turn to Jonah in chapter 1. Jonah in chapter 1, we praise the Lord for him meeting with us already here this morning. And I trust that the Lord has used the message and music. I love that thought of just bowing the knee to Christ and letting him realize that he has complete control in our lives. We've been speaking about the unyielded prophet in Jonah, and that's how you yield to God. You just bow to him and you let him take over. And I praise the Lord for the words of that song this morning. Jonah chapter 1, we have been in the last several weeks, we've started in the book of Jonah, going through a series verse by verse through the book of Jonah. And we're at verses 4 through 10 this morning. So once you've found your place in God's word, if you'd stand with me, if you're physically able to this morning, we're going to read verses 4 down through verse 10 this morning. And again, God had called Jonah to go to Nineveh. It was a wicked city. It called him to go to preach to Nineveh, to preach a message of judgment to them. And Jonah, unyielded to God, began to yield to himself. He ran and he got on a ship headed for Tarshish. And we pick up our reading there in verse 4 as he has boarded this ship, as the Bible says in verse 3, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. I just want to preach a simple message this morning entitled, A Storm from the Lord. There's no doubt that God sent this storm to draw Jonah back to him. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, as we do come before you today, we are thankful for your goodness. Lord, I'm thankful for the folks that have gathered here today, Lord, and yet I realize that I'm unworthy to preach anything, Lord, outside of the fact that you would use me. Lord, I pray that you would fill me now. Lord, help me not to just stand here and speak words, Lord, but I pray that I would communicate a message from you today. Lord, and I pray that it would be exactly what we would have need of. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. As we come to Jonah here in our story, can I tell you this morning, this is exactly where Satan desires each child of God to be. On a boat, not in a literal boat, but running from God and from what God desires to do in their life. That's where Satan desires that you would be this morning, that you would be off on your own, that God has given you his purpose and his plan for your life, that God would say, I simply want you to yield to me on a daily basis, and that we would, some area or some place in our life would be somewhat unyielded to God. That's the devil's desire for us. And yet as we examine this portion of Scripture, can I tell you, I see incredible grace from God. The grace is seen in verse 4 in the storm. The Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. It was a storm that God had sent, and I'm telling you, it was God's chastisement upon Jonah, and it's incredible grace that is displayed here. Listen, can I tell you, when the child of God is in a moment in which you're away from God, God loves us too much to leave us there. And God will send a chastisement in our life. And can I tell you, listen, it's a very difficult thing to understand in the midst of that chastisement. It's not fun to go through that, but that is God's grace extended to you. Amen. That is God getting a hold of you and saying, listen, you need to turn back to me. I love this thought. God sends storms for our healing and not for our hurt. Listen, this storm was not sent to destroy Jonah. It was not sent to destroy the men that were on the ship. In fact, the Bible tells us that the ship was like to be broken. If this had been any ordinary storm, listen, that ship would have been lost. All those men's lives would have been lost. God did not send this storm to hurt Jonah, but to heal him, to bring him back to God. Listen, for the child of God, if God sends a storm in your life, it is not to hurt you. It is not to destroy you. Some have come here today and you're in the midst of a storm. And listen, we'll talk about this here in just a minute. Not all storms are because of God's judgment or sin in our lives. But if you're in a storm today, can I tell you, God desires to reveal himself to you in that storm and to draw you back to him. And so we see that here in this passage. I want you to turn over to Hebrews in chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Keep your place there in Jonah. Hebrews in chapter 12. The Bible speaks here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 a little bit about God's chastisement in the life of a Christian. He says in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 12, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Here's God's grace. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." The Bible goes on to say in verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." Listen, when we're in the midst of that chastening, it's not a joyous time. It's not a fun time. Many of us have gone through the chastening of God in our lives. And when you're in the midst of that, it's not something that you're jumping around and shouting for joy. But I'm going to tell you something. While it's not joyous and it's grievous, listen, the Bible says afterward, it works the work that God wants to work in your life. The Bible goes on to say, "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Listen, those that yield to God in his chastening hand, he desires to work a work in your life to restore you and to bring you back. And we see here in the book of Jonah, as Jonah fled from God, he was yielded to himself. And God desired through that storm to take Jonah's yieldedness off himself and put it back on God Almighty. Can I tell you this morning, and I want you to understand before we go further in this message, a storm doesn't always indicate sin. There are several reasons that God would send storms, and the truth is this message really isn't completely about the storm. We're going to look at some of the effects of Jonah's sin this morning, but I want to tell you this morning, the child of God must discern in the storm if that storm has been sent because of sin. It's something we have to examine, and then if that has been sent because of sin, it's time then in that storm to yield to God. Can I tell you, in my life, as I look back over the years that I've lived the Christian life as a child of God, there have been times that I found myself in a storm. And I'm telling you, I knew in the midst of that storm, this was because something that I had done that God was trying to get my attention. I had strayed from him. And as I look back at those times, can I tell you, those are very personal times for me. Because it's almost as God is speaking so audibly through that storm, and he's saying, "Listen, stop what you're doing. You're straying from me, and it's time to look to me in the midst of the storm." And can I tell you, those become life-changing moments when we yield to God in those storms. Those are times that you'll never forget in your life when you say, "This is when God got a hold of me in the midst of the storm and drew me back to him." And what a great blessing, because that is God's grace in the midst of that time of him sending that storm in our life. A time to redeem us back to him. As Jonah would record in this book later, what a great blessing that God would use him as he would yield to God, and God would take him and use him to record this incredible book and teach us some lessons. So Jonah's in a storm. This morning, I want to look at four quick things from this passage. I believe the lesson that God would have us to learn from this passage of Scripture is the effects of sin or the effects of straying from God in the Christian life. I want you to go back to Jonah in chapter 1. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write down four quick things this morning. Number one, sin causes us to be blinded to God at work in our lives. When we have strayed from God, it causes us to be blinded from the work that God desires to do in our lives. Listen, I'm amazed as I look at this passage of Scripture, I'm amazed at Jonah's reaction to the storm. Do you see it there in verse 5? The Bible says, "But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Jonah's in the middle of this cataclysmic storm. Listen, this is a storm of a lifetime. It's a storm that these men had never been a part of. And here Jonah is in the sides of the ship, and he's there laying, and he's fast asleep. I look at the reaction of these mariners. They're having a completely different reaction. They're out there. I mean, they're crying out to their gods. Listen, we can imagine they're probably confessing their sins. They're confessing other people's sins. Listen, the Bible says that they go and they begin to throw the tackling of the ship into the water. Every worldly good that was on that ship that day, they threw into the water. And there is Jonah. He's asleep. Why? Because he's blinded to the work that God desired to do in his life. Listen, I believe that for those who would stray from God, and this is a scary place to be, I believe there's a temporary peace for those who run from God. And listen, I believe it's seen in this passage, and we've seen it in other people's lives. And I'm telling you, it's a scary place to be because that peace does not come from God. The peace that Jonah would have to go into the side of that ship and to lay down there and to take a nap, that peace wasn't from God. It's one of the most dangerous places to be because we are blinded to God at work in our lives. And listen, sin will do this in the Christian life. People come in and they may come to church and they're living in sin and the pastor desires to preach to them and the Word of God desires to penetrate their heart. Listen, but there's a blindness because of the sin that they have in their life. I knew of a man several years ago who was married. He had some children and he stepped out of that marriage in an extramarital affair. He left his wife and his children. He began to live with this woman. They began to attend another church in the city that they were living. And he made this statement. He said, "I don't think I've ever been closer to God in my life." Can I tell you what a lie from the devil? God did not give him that peace. He was blinded in the midst of his sin. And I want to tell you this morning, listen, sin causes us to be blinded to God at work in our lives. Here is Jonah. He's laying in the side of the ship. He's sleeping. God has sent this cataclysmic storm to try to get his attention, and he's sleeping away. I tell you this morning, that God desires to work in our lives, and sometimes we're blinded to what God's trying to do because of sin. We see, number one, that sin causes us to be blinded to God at work in our lives. And I want to tell you, listen, this is Jonah. He's a prophet of God. Listen, just, who knows, maybe days or hours before this, Jonah was standing before God and God was speaking to him and sending him to Nineveh. And I want to tell you this morning, if a man, a prophet of God like Jonah could be blinded, the truth is you and I this morning could be blinded in the midst of our sin. And so we see from this passage, number one, that sin causes us to be blinded to God at work in our lives. Number two, I want you to see that sin always affects other people. Your sin in your life, listen, it never just affects you. Would you look at this here? Jonah had taken these innocent men on a journey of a lifetime. I mean, these men, listen, by all accounts, we don't see that they ever did anything wrong. The only thing they ever did wrong was sell a ticket to Jonah to allow him to get onto that boat and go with them. Listen, they had no idea what God was going to do in their lives. But can I tell you, your sin never just affects you. There's fallout to other people. We look at this passage and the Bible says there in verse 5, they cast forth the wares that were in their ship into the sea to lighten it of them. Listen, these were merchantmen. They would go from port to port buying and selling and trading. From all we know, listen, everything that they had, all their worldly goods and possessions were there on that boat. Listen, I doubt Jonah fully understood all that he was doing, but these men lost everything that day. I want you to understand this, though. While things can be replaced, lives can't. Can I say this morning? Satan makes choosing our own path sound so intriguing, but never gives us the full picture of destruction. Satan comes to you. He says, listen, you can live however you want. It's no big deal. But he never gives us the full path of destruction, the fallout that we take other people on. I remember when I was just a single man. Listen, decisions didn't seem like that big of a deal. Praying about this or that, if I'm going to buy a car, I don't spend much time praying. I mean, we should spend much time, but as a single man. But I remember when God allowed me to be married. And that extra responsibility or that weight that, listen, now my decisions don't just affect me. They affect someone else. And then I really remember when God placed four children in our home. And I remember the weight of responsibility that we carried with each and every one of those children. I remember in 2007, we were living in Cleveland and we were serving in the ministry there, and I just felt like God was doing something in my heart and my life. And I began to talk to my dad. He was my pastor at the time. I was serving under him. And I said, Dad, I don't know, but I feel like God may be moving us from here. Listen, everything was going well. There were no problems. But I just felt like stirring up. And yeah, he gave me some great advice and some great counsel during that time. And I'm so appreciative of that. And we had his blessings when we eventually moved here to Indianapolis. But can I tell you, I wrestled with that thought for many weeks because I realized, listen, I don't want to be yielded to myself in this decision. Whether we stay here in Cleveland or whether we move to Indianapolis, I wanted to make sure that I was completely yielded to God in that decision because I realized this doesn't just affect me. It affects my wife and it affects my children. Listen, yielded to myself, whether I stayed or whether I went, if I was simply yielded to myself, do you realize the lives that I could have ruined in something like that? You see, the truth is this morning as we examine this passage of Scripture, we find that, listen, our sin or when we yield ourselves, it never just affects us, it affects other people. As a child of God this morning, if you're saved today, listen, your decisions, they don't just affect you. Whether yielded or unyielded, others are always affected by your choices. Listen, one of the lies of Satan is this. It's okay to live for yourself. It's okay. It's okay to go to church but not be yielded to God in this area of your life. Listen, God may be calling you to do something for him. Listen, Satan would come to you and say, it's okay. You just do what you want to do. You can show up at church, you can maybe even read your Bible, you can be around the things of God, but just yield to yourself in this area. Listen, I believe there are homes and families today living far below the blessings that God intended for them because someone has chosen to live for themselves. There's fallout that comes from that. I believe there's men and possibly women. Their family and their homes are affected by the fact that they're not willing to give an area over to God and they want to continue to yield to God in that life. And they may look at themselves and they may say this, listen, I'm okay because every other area is fine. But in this area, I want to be yielded to myself. And it's a fallout. And we can't ever imagine the path of destruction. Listen, I think of David, King David, who for one moment of pleasure with Bathsheba destroyed lives. And we cannot imagine the fallout of living unyielded to God. We see here in this passage, not only does sin cause us to be blinded to God at work in our lives, not only does sin always affect others, thirdly, sin always makes a fool out of us. Sin always makes a fool out of us. We see here in this passage, they begin to examine one another. They cast lots. The Bible says that the lot falls upon Jonah, and they begin to ask him in verse 8. They said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? By the way, those may have been questions they wanted to ask Jonah before he got on the boat to try to figure out what was going on here. Probably would have vetted him ahead of time. But in the midst of the storm, nevertheless, here they are, and they're quizzing him, what is going on? And he says in verse 9, he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Listen, I think it's a paraphrase, but basically he's telling them, listen, guys, the God that I serve, he's done all of this. This storm is from him. Now look at verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? It goes on to say there, for the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Man, I look at this passage and I say, what an embarrassment for Jonah. These men, in 1 minute, they've seen what God can do. And they say, why on earth, knowing what your God is capable of, and knowing how your God has all power to use you, why on earth would you have ever fled from the presence of God and not done what he has asked you to do? What an embarrassment for the prophet of God. And yet, as I look at our lives, can I tell you what a foolish decision it is to trade all that God has for your life for the little bit of pleasure living for yourself may bring you? What a foolish decision that we would trade everything away that God desires to do in our lives so that we might hold on to some part of our life, that we might become yielded to ourselves in one area, and we might even say, God, you can have everything else, but this area is mine. And God says, yield to me. Give it back to me. Solomon would speak about this. Solomon would write the book of Ecclesiastes. In fact, I want you to turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 this morning. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. His wisdom came from God. We also believe he was the wealthiest man that ever lived. His wealth as well came from God. He spent a portion of his life, the beginning of his life, serving the Lord. He was a great king over Israel. But then there was a time in which his heart was turned away from himself, from God and to himself. He writes the book of Ecclesiastes as his testimony during that time. I want you to look at chapter 2 and verse 9. He says in verse 9, speaking of this time in which he was yielded to himself, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Watch this. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. You know what Solomon said? He said, listen, in the time that I was yielded to myself, this was my thinking. I've earned it, and I want to have it. This is the portion of all my labor, everything that I've worked for. I've earned it, and I want to do what I want to do. I tell you, first of all, Solomon didn't earn it. It came from God. Everything that he had been given to him from God. But listen, when he was yielded to himself, he couldn't see what God had done. He couldn't see the blessings of God in his life. And he said, I've earned it, and I want to have it. You know, far too many times, I think, as we live this Christian life, we say, I've earned the right to yield to myself in this area. I'm doing pretty good in every other area. But I believe I've earned this right, and God, if you're going to just kind of have to defer to me in this area. Look what he says in verse 15 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He comes to himself, then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me, and why was I then more wise? You know what he said? He said, sin always makes a fool out of you. There is Jonah. He's a prophet of God. He knows what God is capable of doing. All he has to do is yield to God, and yet he yields to himself, and there he is, and he's sleeping on this boat, and these men come to him and they say, why would you ever yield to yourself? Can I tell you this morning, Solomon yielded to himself and was turned to a fool. He had everything he could ever want, and yet he missed the one thing he could never have while yielding to himself. That was God at work in his life, God leading him and God guiding him and God directing him. Listen, he traded all that for yielding to himself. Jonah yielded to himself and was turned to a fool. And I will tell you this morning, listen, knowing what God is capable of doing in our lives, knowing the power that he has, knowing how he desires to use us, why would we ever live a moment for ourselves? That decision will only make a fool of me. And then finally, and very quickly this morning, we're almost finished. As you go back to Jonah, I want to say this finally. Sin may control us, but with God's help, it cannot keep us. One of the lessons we see from this passage is that while sin may control us for a season, with God's help, it cannot keep us. Look at chapter 2 and verse 7, would you? Chapter 2 is the recording of Jonah's prayer to God when he's there in the fish's belly. It says in verse 7, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple." He says, listen, when I came to the end of myself, and eventually I came to my senses and I realized, what on earth am I doing? Why have I lived, yielded to myself? Why have I stepped away from God's presence in my life? He says, when my soul fainted within me, then I remembered the Lord. Listen, can I tell you this morning? The Christian in sin is never but a prayer of repentance away from God. The Bible says in 1 John in chapter 1 and verse 9, let me read it for you. You can write it down and look it up later. By the way, the book of 1 John is written to Christians. He says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, I'm thankful that the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, he forgave my sins past, present, and future. But I also understand that as I live the Christian life, there are times that I will give in to temptations and I will give in to sins. And in those moments, God desires that I call back to him. Amen. And that I confess of that sin. And truthfully, what he's looking for is repentance. Lord, I'm sorry that I've sinned. And I want to turn away from that sin. I don't want to live in that sin any longer. Listen, as Christians, we don't have to get saved every day of our lives, but as Christians, we do need to repent when there's been open sin in our lives. And I'm thankful, listen, when I'm straying from God, I'm never but a prayer of repentance away from God, restoring me back into fellowship with him. What a powerful promise that he gives us through his word. Listen, I want to tell you, while sin might have a stranglehold on your life right now, and listen, as Christians, there are times when we feel like we're in the midst of this sin and I just can't get through it. While it may have a stranglehold in your life right now, I want you to understand it is no match for God's power. God can help you if you'll turn to him. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 6 this morning. Paul would write this passage to the Christians living in Rome, and they were dealing with all kinds of things, and yet they were dealing with perversions all around them. And he would say to them in verse 1 of Romans chapter 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Then he would say in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." I'm so thankful that the day I got saved, listen, can I tell you, God took my sin nature and he crucified it on that day. No longer does that sin have the power to control me and inhabit my life. No longer do I have to deal with the stranglehold unless I choose to. But with God's power, when I'm yielded to him, listen, we understand that the old man was crucified. It was destroyed. I love verse 11, or verse 12 there, rather. He says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Now look at verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What he's saying here, listen, is that the Christian life is pretty simple. You're either going to yield to yourself, and in yielding to yourself, you're going to yield to sin, unrighteousness. Or you're going to yield to righteousness and yield to God. Where Jonah is at, he's on a ship. He's heading towards Tarshish. He's on his way away from the presence of God. He's yielded to himself. But I love this because while sin may control us, with God's help, it cannot keep us. You see, the truth is the Christian life comes down to either yielding to God or yielding to myself. That's the question we all must answer this morning. Am I yielded to myself, or am I completely and 100% yielded to God in every area of my life? Jonah would later yield to God. That's the blessing of this story, and we're going to get to that eventually. And in his yielded state, God would use him mightily, not only to see a revival come there in Nineveh, but also to write this book that would be a help to us. And I want to say this, what a path to redemption that God would take Jonah on. That's the grace of God. And by the way, that's the grace of God that's seen in chastisement. I want you to turn back to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're almost finished. One more verse, and we're done this morning. Listen, can I say today, as you're turning there in Hebrews chapter 12, when we sin, when we stray from God, God loves us too much to leave us in that sin. God comes to us. He gives us an opportunity to be restored. It's called chastisement. It's seen in the storm here in Jonah's life. And can I tell you, the Bible tells us it's not fun. It's grievous. It's a difficult time, but it's necessary. He says there in verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." He says, listen, in the midst of that chastisement, once you realize this storm has been sent from God, God's trying to get your attention, the best decision you can make is yield to God in that storm. Because those that are exercised thereby, those that are yielded to God in that storm, this is the work that he desires to do. And listen, you would study Bible character after Bible character, those that would fall from God, those that would turn away from God, and in their sin, God would send a storm or something in their life to get their attention, and if they were yielded to God, God would restore them. Listen, I say this morning as you've come in here, maybe there's someone in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, can I tell you the first step towards yielding to God is calling upon him in salvation. Accepting Jesus Christ in your heart and your life, allowing him to cleanse you from your sins and give you a relationship with him and an eternal home in heaven. That's the first step towards yieldingness to God. And then there's maybe someone in here this morning, and listen, everything seems to be going well in your life. Can I tell you, listen, we cannot go and live one day without being yielded to him. And maybe there's some Christians that just need to come this morning and say, God, help me to be 100% yielded to you in my life. Maybe there's a temptation. Maybe there's something that's drawing me away from you. God, please help me to be yielded to you. And then there are those this morning that may be in the storm today. You're in the midst of the storm. There's a storm that's been sent from God, and you know it's God's chastisement. And up till now, maybe you've been yielded to yourself in the storm. Can I tell you, the greatest decision you can make is simply yield to God in the storm. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. The effects of sin in the Christian life. Listen, God desires to draw you back to him. He will use storms. He'll use chastisement sometimes as we live the Christian life. Listen, I don't know how God may have used the message in your heart and in your life this morning. But this morning we're going to have a time of invitation. The invitation is a time to respond back to what God is doing in your life. Listen, are you 100% yielded to God? Maybe there's an area in your life that you've kept to yourself. Listen, maybe you do find yourself in a storm this morning. It's time in that storm to yield to God. Allow Him to do a work. Lord, as we come before You today, we're thankful for Your goodness, Lord. We don't deserve it, but we are thankful for it. And I pray, Lord, that You would use this message in our hearts and our lives. Lord, Jonah learns some lessons and then passes these lessons along to us, Lord, so that we might glean from his time of teaching. Lord, I pray that You'd help us. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, Lord, that I would pray that they would draw upon You and call upon You for salvation this morning. Lord, I pray for some Christians that may not be yielded to You 100% in their life. Lord, I pray that this morning they would become yielded to You. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In Your name I pray.